order. Time now is 7 minutes after four. We have Senators Green, McGuire, Stevens, Huggins, Wilkowski will return, and Senator Wagner is with us. Senator Stebbins excused at this point in time. We have at least four items today. House Bill 87, Citizens Advisory Commission on Federal Areas. House Bill 220, Prohibit Computer-Assisted Hunting. And I say again, computer-assisted hunting. Senate Bill 57, Marine Parks Additional Hunting, Addition Hunting Allowed, SJR 4, Natural Gas for State Residents, HJR 4, Kenai Kasilof Subsistence Priority. So with that, House Bill 87, who's presenting? Welcome.
Thank you, Senator.
Just put yourself on the record. And for allocation of time, we're going to spend about 50 minutes on this bill. The intent is to move it unless we have problems.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. For the record, my name is Sue Stancliff, staff to Representative Mike Kelly. Very simply put, this is a bill about public access on federal lands. It's, I hesitate to say a simple bill, but it truly is. The Citizens Advisory Commission on Federal Areas was established previously in 1981. This is reestablishing the committee. And if the committee would please allow, I'll have my boss continue.
Kelly.
I'm just right here. You got your glasses?
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry for the delay there.
Right. We've allocated 15 minutes, and we're going to move this bill unless we run into problems.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to really be brief.
Yeah. Good. Good idea.
This Citizens Advisory Committee was started by Betty Fahrenkamp, and I think Sue probably told you in 1981. It worked really well, and it went away when oil was around $9 a barrel. And the governor was looking for something to cut, and so that's what happened to it. Its mission is to provide assistance to the public affected by management on federal lands, and as you know, we've got somewhere between 200 and 230 million acres of this sort of land out of the 365 million, so it's not just the corner lot that we're talking about. It's a big chunk of Alaska. And the commission had a record, and there's quite a bit of support for that that Sue will talk about. For the decision-making. They were an action group. They heard a complaint, talked to the people on the ground, worked with the federal managers to make sure that they were compliant with the law and solve problems. And that's what we're looking for. It's an access issue. This administration is high on access. And so I think I'll dog it off right there, Mr. Chairman, and say we'd like to see this bill.
One question. Are there any natural enemies of this?
None have been identified.
We had some concerns about regional representation that Representative Nelson had brought up. We took care of that by using the five regions, so we got somebody from every region.
Okay.
There had been a concern about the size of the board, so we whacked it from 16 to 12. Then concern about keeping that fiscal note down, so we got it down as low as we thought we could. We're down to two people instead of three in the office, which was what we'd started out with. So I think, Mr. Chairman, we've responded to all the concerns, and I think what you have left is a fine piece of work, sir.
Well spoken.
May I?
Yes, please.
Are there any questions?
Yeah, thank you very much. Questions for Senator for Representative Kelly?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Sue, you're in charge.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Members of the committee, I'll continue just to very briefly give you some of the highlights. This commission was known as the problem solvers for the public, the citizens of the state. We have folks in both the DNR and Fish and Game who represent, they're ANILCA coordinators, and they represent the state's best interests. But this commission was in charge of representing the citizens' perspective. And so when they went away, all that left them with is a minimal amount of choices. They could come to us, we do our best, but we don't have the expertise in federal statute and regulations and intent of congressional law. We'd like to, you know, believe that we do, and we do the best that we can, but unfortunately it's not enough. They could go to the congressional delegation, which they have done, and to the Secretary of the Interior, you know, the special assistants, and Hans Neidig is in that office currently. But they do, you know, their best job, but the problem is they're not there all the time. You know, this administration, the Bush administration, it's on its way out. Who knows what's going to come in behind it? So we can't always count on Hans to be there on behalf of the Alaska residents. So it's, you know, we've gone down that road. We visited with the Secretary of the Interior's office. They've been very, very helpful, but we still see the need. And even lands with no specific statutory conservation restrictions are subject to steadily increasing administrative designations and withdrawals that can result in the reductions of public uses. Those are just as prevalent today as they were 10, 20 years ago. They continue to change. And any, you know, a state this size that has the massive federal land that this state has, we need that. Some of the examples that I will give you, I'll only give you three in the face of time where the commission was effective: the development of the Kodiak plan that dealt with the cabins on the refuge, because as Senator, you're well aware, I'm sure, the attempt was to eliminate those cabins on the refuge, and the Citizens Advisory Commission stepped in and said, no, you know, the weather there, the amount of bears, we need those cabins. The commission raised those issues, and cabins are still there. They're still accessible. That was one. Trapping cabins, they're protected under ANILCA. The federal managers have a history of wanting to eliminate those cabins. The commission worked with the trappers, cut through the red tape. We still have those in place today. The commission was effective in the ANILCA boundaries, and that was some years ago in getting the ANILCA boundaries actually mapped. And the support that we have from the groups, the Minerals Commission, Fairbanks North Star Borough, Alaska Miners Association, Kenai River Sport Fishing Association, and the Outdoor Council. I have put copies of all of their letters in your packets, and so I probably don't need to tell you what all they are saying, but every one of them is in support. And Alaska Outdoor Council says it best, is that Alaska's future lies in its land. And the timing is critical that we have people to protect and defend and go to bat for the citizens of Alaska. And with that, I'll wrap up and you can do as you wish. Thank you.
Yeah, questions for Ms. Tankler? Senator Bilicaster.
Yeah, just it seems like it's a pretty big fiscal note for just an advisory commission. And I'm just wondering if the things that they're doing aren't really duplicative. I mean, couldn't we do some of these things already within DNR, it would seem to me?
Through the chair, Senator, they are helping out tremendously by providing the housing for their office as it is. There's a number of services. This fiscal note from the Finance Committee previously in the other body was quite a bit bigger than this because of that. And so they're already doing that, providing mapping, office space, computer, assistance. In the fiscal note, there is an increase in the first year just for, you know, to set these two people up with a computer. But that's basically it. It's pretty minimal. And it's only for two people. Yeah.
Just if I could just talk, what is the per diem that the advisory commission receives? Do you know?
It's through the chair. Senator, it's the standard per diem rate, and it does change frequently, but it would be based on the standard current per diem rate.
Do you know what that is?
I don't currently.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments from Ms. Tankler? Well, this bill does, Senator Bilicaster, because Senate Finance really this time, I told you that once before, but it goes, and we'll let them deal with that particular issue. The one thing that was pointed out by the sponsor was the number of people on the commission. You said that went from 16 to 12 now, right? 12? And as I see that the governor appoints six, and then there's a, with the speaker and the president and other mechanisms. So it appears that geographical distribution makes sense. Mm-hmm. And will represent the people well in that respect. Let me just go very quickly to Mr. Malias. Mr. Dick Malias, are you there?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Good. You have any comments you want to make quickly on this bill?
Yes, very briefly. For the record, my name is Dick Milius. I'm the director of the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Mining, Land, and Water. The department supports House Bill 87, and we've worked with the sponsor on the bill as well as the fiscal note. As mentioned, the commission will be an advocate for individual Alaskans on their issues dealing with problems on federal land. DNR does have staff that review and comment on all the federal land use plans and regulations, but our review is focused more on kind of statewide interest and making sure that the federal government complies with the provisions of the Statehood Act, the Native Claims Settlement Act, the Alaska Lands Act, and similar federal legislation. But we really are not in a position to advocate for individual Alaskans and try to help them solve their problems. So the commission kind of fills a void there in terms of helping individual folks who have issues with federal land agencies. And just briefly to address the whether or not existing staff can do that, as I said, we have only one full-time person in DNR, some additional staff in both DNR and Fish and Game that work on those federal land use plans. But like I say, just keeping up with the planning and regulations on federal lands is more than enough work for them. And so we can't take on those additional responsibilities of trying to deal with individual Alaskans' problems. So that's we don't have the staff currently to do that kind of work. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Milius? No questions, Dick. Thank you very much. And let's go next to Tina Cunning.
This is Tina Cunning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can, Tina. Would you just put yourself on the record, please, and would be proud to hear any comments you might have.
My name is Tina Cunning, and that's C-U-N-N-I-N-G. I'm Special Assistant to the Commissioner of Fish and Game on Federal Issues. The Department of Fish and Game supports HB 87. I've worked in federal issues since the NILCA passed in 1981, and during the time period that the Citizens Advisory Commission on Federal Areas was in existence, the commission was particularly effective in helping individual Alaskans with their problems with permits, cabins, uses, and other activities on federal lands. The Department of Fish and Game has two people who work in ANILCA issues who currently monitor those activities, but their primary focus is on protecting the state's authorities for management of fish and wildlife on federal lands and the regulations and the access for the public at large on those federal lands. But we do not have the staffing or ability to deal with the individual and the many individual issues and questions that come up where people seek help, and we can then advise them either we can help the Citizen Advisory Commission in certain areas, advise them perhaps where some of their political connections might be, but we do not have the resources to help all those individual Alaskans out there, so we very much support this legislation.
Okay, thank you very much. Tina, is there anyone in the room that wants to speak either for or against this bill? Okay. Comments or questions from committee members? Motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move CS for House Bill number 87, Finance Amended, on with the attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Okay. And House Bill 87, hearing no objections, we'll move on to its next committee referral.
Thank you, members of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, Rod, are you still there? Hello, Rod Arno.
Yes.
Yeah, Charlie Huggins. Sorry I missed you on that last round. You weren't objecting to that bill, I assume.
Not one bit at all. As a participant, back with Stan Lippard when he was the head of it, and I was involved with the Outdoor Council, that it made a big difference, and I appreciate the committee's vote on that. No, I won't waste any more of your time on that one. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Next, we will take up House Bill 220, Prohibit Computer-Assisted Hunting. Representative Boot. And I think we have Mr. Joe Clutch online.
Yeah, you do.
Hello, Joe. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Stand by here for a moment. Why don't you put yourself on the record, and we'll be ready to go, Representative.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you very much for hearing this bill today. Good afternoon. My name is Bob Book. I'm from South Anchorage, representing the pineapple part of the state of Alaska. At any rate, I would like to speak very briefly on House Bill 220. You've heard it once before. It talks about internet hunting as when a person anywhere in the world can shoot animals from their living rooms by using a computer through a rifle and the internet. The hunter is able to control the aiming and firing of a rifle from their computer keypad and make a kill with a click of a mouse. This bill would do three things. First of all, it would prohibit individuals from engaging in internet hunting in Alaska. It would prohibit anyone from providing services or operating facilities in the state to enable computerized hunting activities. Finally, it would make sure that future technology designed to assist the legitimate needs of handicapped or disabled hunters out in the woods would not be subject to the ban created in this bill. It has a very broad spectrum of support. Humane Society, NRA, ASPCA, hunting organizations, and the Department of Fish and Game. I do have some members of Fish and Game here to support it. I have been able to find one person in this building who had objections.
Wow.
Who was that?
The gentleman to your right. At any rate, if you have any questions for me or if you have any questions for the members of the representatives of the Department of Fish and Game, we're at your disposal.
Okay, questions for representatives?
Let me just say for the record, yes. He's not referring to me.
Mr. Chairman. Senator for Lork. Mr. Chairman,
mine wasn't an objection as much as a question, and nobody's ever answered my question. If I'm a rancher, I own my own property, and if I own my own herd of buffalo, why wouldn't I be able to hunt in this manner? Because most of the instances we're talking about, while the land may be in private hands, the game is owned by the resources owned by the state, like in Texas. But in some instances, if a person has a hunting preserve, why would we enter into something that is a private enterprise that they elect to harvest the animal this way? That was my question.
I would be delighted to answer that question on the record for you, sir.
Thank you.
We object to the fact that they're using it through the internet, that they're using a technology, and our objection is that they're not doing it in person and caretaking for that critter, whatever that critter is, in person. There's a certain relevance there to that animal, and it is a complete disregard to that animal and to those of us who participate in a fair chase sport of hunting. So we take particular umbrage to that as well as to what it does to that animal and the irreverence to that animal.
With that, let's go now to Mr. Joe Klutch. Joe, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you have about a minute and 30 seconds.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Joe Klutch, representing Alaska Professional Hunters Association. We offer our strong support for this piece of legislation. Our association and its members are committed to fair chase hunting practices and ethical standards of conduct. The organization of killing an animal via cyberspace and robotics is not hunting. It's not hunting. And true hunting is a problem-solving exercise which involves planning, knowledge of the species being pursued, its habitat. The hunter has to be prepared to cope with all the elements in nature, particularly in Alaska. It's a real-life drama that involves doubt, frustration, anxiety, discovery, great physical and mental challenge, joy and disappointment. And the outcome of the process is by no means assured. That's what fair chase hunting is. This bill is just absolutely, I think, essential in this state, and it follows the lead of many other states in the lower 48, and we're very appreciative that it was introduced and request your support. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Joe, very much. Let's go now to Mr. Rod Arno, AOC.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Rod Arno, representing the Alaska Outdoor Council, and the Alaska Outdoor Council from the beginning has supported HB 20. And with the increased technology, unfortunately, these are the rare examples that are aired as, that there are people who don't have the same hunting ethics. And it's interesting in the advertisements for doing this as well as patterning of game. It says it can save you days in the field. And that's just what the Alaska Outdoor Council is advocating,
is for days in the field. So we do thank the sponsor for introducing this and do support its passage. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Rod. We appreciate it very much. Let's next go to Mr. Bobby Fithian with the Alaska Professional Hunters Association. Hello, Bobby, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, sorry about that.
Chairman Huggins, members of the board, I guess I can defer my testimony to our president, Joe Klutsch. He said it real well. I'll just follow through with a couple other comments. We support HB 220. The act of hunting defined represents an action activity where one would seek to find something. The activity that HB 220 seeks to stop is not in keeping with any concept of fair chase or wilderness lore or stewardship, and goes a considerable distance in developing unneeded anti-hunting sentiment. We encourage you to support this piece of legislation. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Fithian? Senator Stevens.
Yes,
for Representative Booth. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with everything I've heard here today, Bob, but I don't really quite understand on line 10. I don't really know much about this, and can you help me understand what that means, that it does not apply to a person with physical disabilities using equipment or devices designed to assist with a disability. But what are we talking about there, and what does that exception mean, and how pervasive will this be?
I'll answer you generally, and then I will defer to Matt Robus, who's here to speak to that specifically. Basically, have you ever heard of Make-A-Wish Foundation? Some of these organizations go to great length to provide for the disabled people. And in trying to make a final wish come true for them, they go to great length to see that those kinds of achievements are made possible. And so we're not going to create a ban on the technologies that may be developed to assist those kinds of activities, and that's the consideration that we made, and that is why this piece of legislation went through some very serious undertakings to provide for that language. And this is Matt Robus, I think.
Yeah, Matt, put yourself on record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Matt Robus. I'm the director of the Division of Wildlife Conservation within the Department of Fish and Game. And in the other body, this bill underwent an amendment to deal with this particular aspect of the language. At first, it could have possibly been interpreted to allow somebody to remain at their residence and use this technology in order to take an animal if they had disabilities. The department has a very long and successful history of accommodating persons with disabilities to allow equal access to the extent possible to hunting opportunity. And in fact, the Board of Game has delegated through regulation to the division the job of granting methods and means exemptions to allow somebody with a disability to be able to use a method not used by under the normal hunting regulations. But we, and we've been backed up in this by the state ADA coordinator, have always required that a person in that situation make some sort of active attempt to go to the field and participate in the taking of the animal. And so in the case of B, when it talks about using some sort of a device that is meant to help overcome a disability, we still are requiring, or the bill is still requiring, that the person be present in the field making a meaningful attempt to participate in the hunt. And so essentially that's what that language is supposed to mean.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So then I'm to understand that this is a very minimal issue, that it would be controlled. It's sort of the out of the ordinary experience that we're talking about here.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, that's correct. We'd do this on a case-by-case basis, and it would be based on an individual's disability and how that affects their ability to participate in a given hunt.
Thank you for explaining that.
Right. And Matt, I'm assuming that the department is fully supportive of the bill as it's written.
Mr. Chairman, we are.
Okay. Is there anybody else in the room who wants to speak to this bill? Motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that CS for House Bill number 220 Judiciary be moved out of committee with the attached fiscal note, if there is one, and individual recommendations. Yes, there are three fiscal notes.
Hearing none, just we'll move out of committee.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I appreciate your time. Have a good afternoon, and I hope it's brief.
Thank you. Okay, next we have Senate Bill 57, Rain Parks Edition. And we need to have working draft Kelo.
Did you say Kelo?
K.
That's not what I have. I have A.
Everybody have version Kelo?
No. Do you have K?
I do.
This is RCS?
Say again.
This is our resource CS.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
How are you doing there, Mr. Majority Leader?
I'm ready to go home. How about you?
Had better weeks.
Okay, with that, let's charge on. Go ahead. Put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Kim Elton. I'm Senator for District B, which is Juneau and the surrounding environs. And I'll be very brief. I presented the bill, Mr. Chair, once already. I will assume for the record that version K will be moved, and so my comments will be to version K. There are two changes in the committee substitute. One is substantive and the other is technical cleanup language. In the old version of the bill, there was a section 2 which included redundant language, provided a restriction on the Department of Fish and Game already in statute, so it didn't need to be reiterated. The substantive change was the result, Mr. Chair, of some good committee work at the committee level, and that is changing the boundary for the marine parks to the 10-fathom limit rather than the 20-fathom limit. It's good, I think, for the park system, and especially good for those who are using the park system, because the 10-fathom line is delineated on the marine charts that people use when they're hopefully use when they're accessing the area. And so with that, Mr. Chair, I just remind you that of something that I hope I said in my previous testimony. This is supported by the business community. It's supported by the Territorial Sportsman, which is Southeast Alaska's kind of premier group that represents both hunters and sport hunters and sport fishers. Supported by the only inholder in the marine park system. And we have yet to hear from anybody that doesn't support the bill, Mr. Chair. With that, I'm willing to try and answer any questions. I would note for the record that I have a staff member here who has worked on this bill with many of your staff people, and she is probably more prepared to answer any tough questions that you might have than I. So.
Okay, and I'll move that the CS for Senate Bill 57, version Kelo, be brought before the committee. Is a working document. Hearing no objections. Okay, with that, let's go to Mr. Wayne Reglin. Wayne?
Do you want me to sit at the table, Mr.
Yeah, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Wayne Reglin. I'm retired. I live at 9344 Turn Street in Juneau. I'm here representing Territorial Sportsmen Incorporated, I'll call it TSI. I'm on the board of the Territorial Sportsman, which is a Juneau-based conservation and sportsman's organization with about 1,200 members. And we strongly support SB 57 and urge you to pass it. We think expansion of the state parks unit will benefit the public by enhancing their use of the resources within and near each one of these park units. The legislation contains important language that assures that hunting, fishing, trapping, camping, those things can continue. And we have a very close working relationship with the Marine Parks people here in Southeast Alaska. And we work with them to build public use cabins on marine parks. And we use volunteer labor. We get a lot of business donations and or reduced costs from local businesses and some limited support from legislative appropriations. And working together, we've been able to construct four cabins at low cost to the state in Southeast Alaska, and a great benefit to public users. And in addition to recreational uses, these cabins serve as emergency use for all recreational and commercial boaters that use them, that are out there in the outdoors. The four cabins that we have used in the Juneau area are managed and reserved under the state park reservation system. And then TSI helps maintain these cabins, and they're so popular and heavily used that the user fees that are charged are adequate to cover the maintenance cost. And so we think expansion of the marine park system is going to provide more places for us to build public use cabins and continue this program, and we urge you to pass it. And we see lots of benefits, no cost to the state, and no downside. Thanks.
Questions? Yes, Senator Wagner.
Since Wayne's here, he might know. You're very familiar with the Ketchikan Bay area. They've got a marine park there. Actually, it's a park and a marine park combined, Ketchikan Bay State Marine Park or something. But I think their requirements are different. Here we've got the 10-fathom line. Theirs takes in large expanses of water, right?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know exactly what the boundaries are, but it's a much different program, and that's not a state park. That is
a marine park. I don't know.
Kind of a management area.
Trying to figure out is why the state, in some cases, doesn't have a standard criteria like the 10-fathom line. I think that's a pretty good criteria, actually, and there it's much more expensive. So I'll check into that.
Other questions? Yes, Senator Stevens.
Well, I just want to say it's great to see Mr. Reglan back, and I've heard hours and hours of testimony from him. And I guess my only question is, aren't you doing the same thing you did when we were paying you? Or
I got drafted at the last minute because the president wasn't available, and Thursday, I'm out of here going turkey hunting.
There you go.
Thank you very much. And now we'll go to Mr. Rod Arno, Alaska Outdoor Council.
Yes, thank you again, Mr. Chairman. Rod Arno, Alaska Outdoor Council, and the Outdoor Council does support SB 570. And I guess the only, thing that we looked at specifically was making sure that hunting, fishing, and trapping would continue. And with that in mind, it's good to bring it to the your attention that as we look at the Chugach State Park, who, when it was put together here next to Anchorage, it was with the idea that consumptive uses would continue. And it'll be interesting if the Wolverine issue brings up a change in that management plan. So state parks are good. We would like them to go ahead and adhere to the legislation that was passed when they were put together. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Rod. We appreciate it. And Mike Eberhardt, I see you here. Do you have anything new to add today? He's shaking his head negative on that. You have a new shirt on, so you might as well come forward.
through the chair to Senator Wagner, the issue of the 10-fathom line, that was normally
put yourself on a record, microphone.
Mike Eberhardt, Park Superintendent for Southeast Area State Parks, that boundary is normally drawn through Aliquot Parks, which are the large square, the way we normally describe parcels of land in general. The 10-fathom line is a fairly new thing that we came up in this marine park system due to, as you have noted, getting large bodies of water that we don't necessarily want to manage or have any need to manage because it's not in our scope of the statutory authority that, when you say for hunting and fishing, for us to manage it for that you know, we're not out there in the water. So it pushes it out and removes some of the controversy. So I think it's something you'll probably see more of in the future.
Good. Thank you.
Senator Wilkowski.
Yeah, thank you. Just clarification on Section 2. It says commissioner may not prohibit fishing, hunting, or trapping within a marine park unit. That's a new section. And if there's a crash in moose population or something, I assume that there, someone can come in and say, we need to regulate this resource to protect the resource. I assume that. Is that accurate?
That's correct. We would defer to the Department of Fish and Game. Senator Wilkowski through the chair.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Other questions or comments for the bill sponsor or Mike? Senator Green.
I'm not sure if it's part. When we discussed version A on section 2, someone mentioned that that should be amended on line 6 and 7 to identify the commissioner of DNR. And I noticed version K doesn't have that. Did we amend it or did we just talk about it?
Through the chair, and I'm kind of looking at Mike also. In section 2 in version K, that is the commissioner of DNR. We did have in a previous version language that addressed the Department of Fish and Game. That was taken out because that was already covered in another part of the statutes. Mm-hmm. So this commissioner is the DNR commissioner. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah. But right. Where does it explain that that is the commissioner of DNR? Because I don't see it anywhere in the bill. Is it somewhere else in the section?
I think it's in the right title. I think it's Title 41. Okay. And I think that's DNR.
Because I know we'd have the discussion that should be commissioner of DNR, and I just wondered if that was adequate. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam President. And with that, Gary Miller. Gary, you've been very patient with us thus far.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Gary Miller. I'm with the Juneau State Parks Advisory Board. I'm here to speak on behalf of our board. We asked our junior legislators to introduce this legislation for us. Previous speakers covered most of the issues, so I'm just going to touch on a couple of things. At one time, Shelter Island was owned entirely by the state of Alaska. Now there are 152 private lots. The Division of Mining, Land, and Water, which currently manages the land, divided part of the island up and sold it. I would be trespassing if I hunted, camped, or picnicked on these lands. I've hunted deer on Lincoln Island for many years. Both Lincoln and Shelter Island have good deer hunting. SB 57 will keep these lands open so I can continue to hunt there. I hope the committee passes the legislation. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Questions or comments from Gary? Other questions or comments from committee members on the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move out CS for Senate Bill Number 57, version K, with the attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there objections? Seeing none, this bill will be moved from committee. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thanks.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And next, SJR 4, natural gas for state residents.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be it.
The bill sponsor is with us, Senator Wilkowski.
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. I presented this bill at the last meeting that we had a week or two ago. And at that time, there was a concern raised by Senator Wagner. I believe Senator Wagner has an amendment that he's prepared, and we have no objection to that. And I'm happy to answer any questions that people have. I know we're pressed for time, so I won't go on much further.
Senator Wagner, you want to address your amendment?
Yeah, you want me to move it first,
please?
I'd move amendment number, I guess, 1.
Is there objections?
I'll object for discussion purposes. The reason I made this amendment, Senator Wilkowski originally had 58 residents, and that's just about right for the Phillips side of it. But the thing you had to understand, this is not just a ConocoPhillips plant. This is a ConocoPhillips Marathon plant, and there are many more jobs that are involved in this plant and the pipeline operation and the drilling of wells and the operation of Kenai Gas Field and the Swanson River Gas Field. So there's a lot more jobs that are affected th- through this resolution than just the 58 that ConocoPhillips has in the plant and on the Tionic platform. And that was the only reason I want to do this, just so it didn't have a specific number, and if anybody ever wanted to ask, they could start researching it out a little further. So with that explanation, I'll withdraw my objection.
Okay. Is there additional objections?
Seeing none, Mr. Kevin Banks. You have a very brief moment.
I have a very brief bit of testimony, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Kevin Banks. I'm the acting director for the Division of Oil and Gas. I think this resolution is, I want to express my thanks for the Senate taking up this resolution, and I feel it will make a contribution in the discussions back in Washington about authorizing the license for the LNG plant. And that concludes my testimony.
Okay. Thank you. Questions or comments on Mr. Banks' presentation? Other questions or comments on the resolution? Senator Stevens?
Mr. President, I move that, Mr. Chairman, I move that we move out CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 4 with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there objections? Hearing none, this bill will move out of committee. And finally today, our last item.
Goodness, nothing to this, is there?
Is HGR 4, Kenai Casino Subsistence Priority.
Good Lord.
And Conrad, you're presenting?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, have a seat. Put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Conrad Jackson, staffer, Representative Kurt Olson. The representative sends his apologies. He had intended to be here, but looks to be way late with an appointment. I'll be as brief as I can. HGR 4 has been amended to ask the Federal Subsistence Board to rescind its recent customary and traditional use determination that grants subsistence priority for four communities on the Kenai Peninsula. These four communities are Nanilchik, Hope, Cooper Landing, and Happy Valley. I believe you have an amendment that is going to be offered, assuming it's the same amendment we've spoken with your staff about. The sponsor has no objection to the amendment. We would just ask that the Senate Resources Committee move the resolution on. At this point, the Federal Subsistence Board has ruled against the state on its request for reconsideration, and I have copies of an ADN article dated May 3rd if the committee would like to see it. Basically, that's just what it says. The federal officials have rejected the state's request to block a subsistence fishery on the Kenai River for Nanilchik residents this summer. I'll keep it as short or sweet as that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, questions or comments with Mr. Conrad? Has there been any resistance at all to this resolution?
Mr. Chairman, the resistance has come from the Nanilchik Tribal Council.
Okay. So let's go very quickly to Tina Cunning, Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Tina, you there?
I am here.
Yes. Would you put yourself on the record, and we would be proud to hear your comments.
My name is Tina Cunning. I'm Special Assistant to the Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game on subsistence and federal issues. I have some talking points that we put on the record when this was heard prior. They're fairly short. Would you like me to just repeat them?
If you would, please.
The state of Alaska is deeply troubled by the recent Federal Subsistence Board decisions on Kenai Peninsula to grant the communities of Nanilchik, Happy Valley, Hope, and Cooper Landing a subsistence priority in the Kenai and Kisilov River drainages. The state has filed several requests for reconsideration over the last year, most recently in January of this year, appealing those decisions, and we were heard again last week. The resolution you have before you is consistent with the state's various appeals. By way of background, under state law, these communities are regarded as non-rural in nature and are part of the Anchorage Matsu Kenai non-subsistence area. The federal board regards these communities as rural, even though they are surrounded by non-rural communities, and has found that they have a customary and traditional use of the Kenai and Kisilov River drainages. The state argues that the board did not base its decisions on evidence that fulfills the 8 criteria required by federal regulations for making such customary and traditional use determinations. For example, the regulations require demonstration of a long-term customary and traditional pattern of consistent use by a community of the fish resource on federal lands. Instead, the board ignored and misused the available data, indicating that at most a very small percentage, up to 7%, of Nanilchik residents had fished in the area of the proposed subsistence fishery in a set of years. The data did not demonstrate that required long-term pattern of community use. The board also neglected to take several factors into consideration, such as the changing demographics of Nanilchik, the impact that Nanilchik's connection to the available road system has on use levels and the type of use, such as sport fishing, Nanilchik's access to and more common use of local fisheries on their doorstep, historical tribal use areas which do not include the upper Kenai River area, and the purposes of Kenai Refuge. Considered collectively, these factors do not appear to support a long-term consistent pattern of community use. The state is concerned that the Cook Inlet fisheries are already fully allocated, and the board's decision will eventually result in unnecessary restriction of existing established uses, such as commercial, sport, and personal use fishing. The state is also concerned that the federal board does not consistently apply the 8 criteria with substantial evidence required by regulation before making its C&T determination, does not consider impacts of its decisions on other beneficial uses as required by the Ninth Circuit Court decision in 2000, has not adopted and applied criteria in regulations that require substantial evidence before implementing restrictions on closures on state-authorized fisheries. This issue before us is not about putting food on the table. The state provides substantial opportunity for personal and family consumption through personal use fisheries and for cultural and educational purposes through our educational fishery permits, which also provide for consumption. The amounts of fish allowed to be taken under these state fisheries far exceed the numbers actually taken by residents of Hope, Cooper Landing, and Nanilchik. That's my comments, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions or comments from Ms. Cunning? Okay, next we'll go
Senator
to
Wagner.
Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Wagner.
Ms. Cunning. Due to their blatant disregard for their own criteria they have set up, would this open up the avenue for the state to bring legal action against the subsistence board?
Mr. Chairman, we believe so.
Okay.
We have a Department of Law person here, too. Let's leave you. Go ahead. I'll ask him. Mr. Mike Sowright.
Yes. Yeah. This is Mike Sowright with the Department of Law.
Yeah. Did you hear the question from Senator Wagner?
I did, and I wonder in what context it was meant, whether it was in the context of suing the federal government for some type of damages or pursuing a court action to the effect that the customary and traditional use determinations are illegal and invalid.
The second.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And Mike, do you have anything else that you would like to add on this bill or on this resolution?
Not unless asked a question.
Okay, thank you.
Mr.
We will now, Senator Wagner.
I'd just like to clarify, the reason I asked that question, I followed this subsistence for years and years since it started. And the only village or the only community that really should have any subsistence claims would be Nanilchik. And more likely than not, just the Nanilchik tribe. Because, for instance, Hope was a community that was developed at the turn of the 20th century, going in from the 19th to the 20th century, in gold mine. That's gold mining is what developed the city of Hope. And Cooper Landing was far later than that, as was Happy Valley. And this is what happens when the federal government comes in and decides rural based on the fact that they use somebody's zip code to determine what rural is. So, yes, I would urge the state to bring legal action against this committee. End of speech.
Yes. Thank you, Senator
Wagner. See what he means.
Let's go to Mr. Rod Arno, Alaska Outdoor Council. Hello, Rod, are you there?
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, put yourself on the record once again, if you would, and I think you attended the hearings, as I recall.
Yes, Rod Arno, Executive Director of the Alaska Outdoor Council, and for a couple decades, three decades, I've been attending meetings, and I did attend the last Federal Subsistence Board meeting when they denied the state's request for reconsideration, and I attended all of the meetings prior to that on the subcommittees with the South Central RAC down on the Kenai, as well as the Federal Subsistence Board meetings dealing with the creation of a Region 11 for the Kenai to try to address the problem, as well as attending the meetings on the rural, non-rural determinations by the Federal Subsistence Board. So the Alaska Outdoor Council clearly supports HJR 4, that based on my experience, the Federal Subsistence Board has been inconsistent in its following of its own regulations. And the CNT regulations is just one example of that. However, Mr. Chairman, we do believe the measure would be strengthened by adding a clause that speaks to the intended use of the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge. The Kenai Refuge was created by Congress, well, it was renamed from the Kenai National Moose Range when they passed Anelka to being the refuge. And in Anelka, Congress established 9 new refuges across the state, and every one of them, except for the Kenai, had included in its purpose the priority for continued subsistence uses by local residents as a use. The one refuge that Congress didn't include was the Kenai, and Congress did not treat the Kenai refuge different by accident. These questions of the refuge should be and what the purpose should be based on the characteristics of each use was exhausted in debate. I participated in the D2 debates with Morris Udall and Cecil Andrus. Representative Don Young was at that meeting I was at in Anchorage in the late 70s, and a preponderance of the testimony before that committee here in Anchorage then before the passage of Anelka was the fact that these people recreated on the Kenai. And with that in mind, you know, while language for subsistence in the Kenai Refuge was purposely left out of Anelka, Section 303 of Anelka 4B5 lists as a use the opportunities for fish and wildlife recreation. That language is included, Mr. Chairman, because Congress recognized that while subsistence uses of local residents in the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge was no longer characteristic of the area or its people, recreational and personal use, taking of wild fish and game by all the residents, the 470,000, was highly characteristic of the area. And the Outdoor Council believes that providing that opportunity for just 1,800 Alaskan residents that qualify for that would, you know, be detrimental to Alaska to have to deal with that. So, again, Mr. Chairman, we support the resolution, but believe it would be strengthened with language to clarify the record. Thank you for the time. Won't take any more, but I can answer questions.
Yeah, thank you, Rod, and we appreciate everything you do for Alaskans. Any questions or comments from Rod? I'd like to move Amendment Number 1 at this time, since Rod just justified why we have Amendment Number 1, which he's the source of, and I point out there's two elements. So it's page 1, line 15, following priority. We would insert the following language. You have the amendment there before you. The first part, as Rod said, is that Congress expressly omitted continued subsistence uses by local rural residents when it comes to the area in discussion. And the second, whereas, it chose to make fish and wildlife-oriented recreation opportunities a purpose of the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge. And that's the essence of the amendment. Are there objections to the amendment? Seeing none, Amendment Number 1 will be adopted. And is there anyone else in the room that wants to speak to this bill? Is there anyone one online that has final comments on this resolution? Hearing none, final comments of committee members? With that, Senator Stevens?
Mr. Chairman, I move that CS for House Bill, or House Joint Resolution Number 4, that's right, as amended.
Yes.
Pass out of the committee with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there objections? Seeing none, resolution will pass from committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much.